I heard the Lord say, my love is like a well, and it will never run dry. Yes. When I told you to drink of me, and you will never thirst again, this is the water I have for you. Is there any thirsty this morning? The Lord is inviting you to come and drink from the well of his love, so you will never thirst again.
Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, come on up. Just come on up front. As a word in season. If you're thirsty, if you are dissatisfied with what the world has to offer, you've even tried religion. The formalization. The formula. It doesn't work. The only thing that works is him. Come and be filled in him. All you who are thirsty, and I'm always thirsty, because there is always more. There is a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
A simple lesson that Pastor D gave was we must love him more than ourselves.
Yes.
Always.
Amen. Praise God. That's good. Let's love him more than we love ourselves, more than we love anything else in this world. Thank you, Jesus. There's just a simple love song. And Evan, whatever that simple love song is, if you'd lead us in it. And I just invite you right now, if you're thirsty for more of him, if you are thirsty for more of him, come to the altar. It's just about him. It's not about anything, but just sometimes it is a prophetic act of obedience. It is a prophetic act of just stepping out for more. Come to the altar. Let's just put our hands up and receive all the love. He is going to give you an overwhelming, overflowing, endless love of God. The overflowing, overwhelming, endless love of God. The overflowing, overwhelming, endless love of God is here. And he fills you all in all.
It needs to be imparted.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, come stand with me. That's all right. Bob and Pastor D and I, we're going to just lay our hands on you. We're going to put our hands on your shoulder. We're going to just impart Holy Spirit, tangible infilling of his love and his presence to a point of overflowing right now. So if that's you, come on up. Come on up. All right. The overflowing, overwhelming, endless love of God. If you need healing in your body, this is a good time to come on up front and receive what was bought back at the cross. There's something about the love of God that brings a revelation of his healing power for you. Amen. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the revelation that you're our Abba Father, you're our Daddy God. We receive your love. We are entering into a new place of sonship, sons and daughters. But you know what else? I just heard this actually last night. A really powerful minister said this. He says, you know, the church body has we're getting the revelation of sonship. But you know what we didn't realize? There's also a revelation of being a sibling. And not just to Jesus, but to each other. So I just release you as a church body. We're going to go love on each other as siblings. We are one body. We love you guys.
Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Thank you for light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Somebody help the guy in the back. Seriously. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, you're so good. You're a good, good God. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. I thank you that you are love and your love has been deposited in us. I thank you, Father, today that you would open our eyes, that we might see the goodness of God, that we might receive, that we might be launched forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, we're in week 3 of a series called The Incredibles. No, it's called You Are Incredible. You are incredible. And, you know, somebody might say, well, aren't you a vain thing? No, you are incredible. But what we're really talking about is who you are in him. Amen. Who you are in him. That's a good thing. Praise God. So we're on work week, whoa. Say that again, Pastor D. On week 1, we talked about sometimes we can be not too incredible. Sometimes the way we live our life, not too incredible. Sometimes we do some things not too incredible. But what we got out of this on week 1 is it doesn't change who you are when you have Jesus. It doesn't change how he thinks about you, okay? Now, I am working on not being so not incredible and walk in with an attitude that I need you, okay? So that was week 2, here we go. Week 2, we looked at movie number 1 and there of The Incredibles, and there's this guy called Frozone. And Frozone comes running into his wife. He's got this emergency, and he yells at her, "Honey, where's my super suit?" And what we learned from week 2 is that the day you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you a super suit on the inside. Mine's on the inside. I don't have to jump into a closet and put something on and come on out. I have a super suit. I have him inside. So we talked about who's in the inside of you on week 2. All right. Hey, if you were not able to be with us, I would like to say you missed it. But that's okay, because sometimes life just keeps us here and there. But you can go online. How many of you have a computer? How many of you have a cell phone? You can go online and listen to it, or you can get a free CD. Just fill out the envelope. So we are on week 3, and I'm going to base this off of The Incredibles movie number 2. How many of you have seen movie number 2? Came out last year. It's cute. You can eat popcorn. Was it cute? Did you like it? I liked it. Okay. So the whole premise of the movie is the Incredibles want to get their superhero status back from society. See, before they were kind of like undercover, but now they want to get their status back. All right, they want everybody to know they're superheroes, they're good guys, and they're trying to get their status back. So I got to thinking about that. Pastor D, how can you watch a movie and come up with a message? I can. Stick around, okay? So this is how we're going today. Ready? I want to talk about our status since you've received Jesus. Our super status since you've received Jesus. And as I was thinking about our super status, just stay with me. I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. So when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about reward cards. Does anybody have reward cards? Does anybody have a Starbucks reward card? Okay, let me tell you how it works. They give you this card, and every time you purchase a Starbucks coffee, you get a star, okay? And if you get enough of them, guess what you get? Free coffee, okay? Yay, free coffee. We've got free coffee. We don't give stars. We have free coffee, okay? So if you keep doing this, not only do you get free coffee, but you can be a gold card status. Woohoo! But here's the thing. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use this, your status can go down to green. And your status, you can have no status if you don't use this. But you want to know the good things about God? God gives you a status, a super status, and you don't lose it with him. Whew, thank goodness. Okay, you don't lose it with him. So we want to talk about the status that we have with God. And the day you receive Jesus Christ, you get a different status, a super status. Praise the Lord. So, title of the message is your super status, all right? Super status. And actually what we're going to be talking about is your super status is your standing with God. Your standing with God, all righty? So let me start saying this. Many times, I'm going to say all the time, you got to get this right. You got to get your status, your understanding of God right first before you do this with other people, all right? You got to get this first. And when I understand how God sees me, what God thinks about me, what God says over me, when I understand this first, I can do this a whole lot better. I can serve people. I want to serve people because I got this, all right? We got to get this. So that's why we've got to talk about our status, because until you get this, it really kind of affects how you do life. How you receive from the Lord, how you don't receive from the Lord. And so we got to get this going. So that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about our standing with God, our standing with God. So we're going to talk about righteousness. Anybody ever hear about that? Righteousness? Righteousness. Okay. Now, I want to start by asking you a question. Can you mess up your standing with God? Can you mess up your status with God? Can you just make so many mistakes that you have just messed it up with God? Now, anybody that's been in this church knows, what do we know? No, you don't. Okay. But some of you are like, really? I didn't screw up? Okay, you can't, I don't like saying that. Somebody correct me on that. You can't mess up. You can't mess up. You can't mess up and God take your standing away from you. Once you've received Jesus, he gives you a standing, a super status, a standing, and you can't mess up, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. So the main idea is our status is from God. Your standing is from God. And then out of that, we just do life really good, all right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, there's a problem with that. There's a problem. A lot of people have a problem in their status, their standing, this part with God. And this usually will start with some Old Testament thinking. So on week one, we turn over to Isaiah 64. And this is where we get some stinking thinking. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Now listen, I read my Old Testament. I like to read my Old Testament. It's good to read your Old Testament, but what I read in the Old Testament is not going to be the map on how I walk in God today, because I have a better new covenant, all right? But I read this. But listen what people's get their status goofed up. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all like unclean things. Wah, wah. And all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Wah, wah, wah. We all fade away as a leaf and our iniquities are like the wind have taken us away. Guys, that does not sound good. Okay, that doesn't sound good about you. But guess what? That's not who we are when you receive Jesus, because you are now on this side of the covenant. This side of the covenant says, I have a super status. I'm not that. You should be going, yay, yay, yay. All right? Praise the Lord. We're no longer that way. Now we have a standing with God. It's called a right standing with God. Praise God. So righteousness righteous is found over 500 times in verses in the Bible. That's a lot. Prayer is found 500 times or more. Faith is like 500 times. So I think God wants us to have an understanding. 500 times you're going to find righteousness or righteous in the Bible. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Righteousness is a gift. Amen. And it's free. Amen. I like what you shared, Keith. Righteousness is a gift and it's free. Righteousness is a gift and it's free. Now, I'm going to make this statement. I know it sounds crazy, all right? Okay, when you think about it, but listen, when you get to heaven, by the way, when you get to heaven, come and see me, find me, and tell me I was right. Okay, here we go. When you get to heaven, you are no more righteous. Girl read her Bible. That's right. Now, some of you are like, yeah, of course, Pastor D. And some of you are sitting here thinking, what? No. Listen to this. Listen. Okay, better yet, listen to Paul. Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, 3. Romans 10, 3. Just when you get to heaven, you're not going to be more righteous. Okay? Romans 10, 3. Paul is talking to the Jews, okay? And this is what he says. For they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, right standing, God, their status with God. So take it this way. You could be in church and you could be ignorant of your standing, your status with God. Yeah. I was really ignorant for a long time on that. Listen, I did crazy things. Okay. And so ignorant means you just don't know. No one explained. Okay, let's read the rest of it. Okay. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Shoo. Okay, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So, you know what I know? That's not good to seek your own righteousness. Pastor D, what are you talking about? Let me tell you, because I was good at this. I'm going to try to do good things. God, I am doing good things, so I'll be more loved by you, liked by you, in a better position with you. That's trying to establish your own righteousness. And I grew up in a church, we were big on that. I call it earning brownie points, okay? Okay, gee whiz, listen. God will never, 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 never love you more. God will never, never, never love you less. He's consistent, isn't that cool? I know some skits up and down, but listen, God is consistent, okay? He loves you the same, and your righteousness is because of Jesus. Only because of him. Woohoo! All right, so I'm going to start by telling you a story, and then you're going to go, she got that from a movie? Yeah, you should sit with me at movies and see all the things I get. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. A lot of you, if you've been raised in church, you probably all know this story. And if you were one of my kids long, long time ago in children's ministry, I have acted this thing out amazing. All right, so there's this guy in the Bible and he's in bed. He's in bed because he can't walk. He's paralyzed. And he has four friends. Four really cool, good friends. And the four friends pick him up off of his bed and they carry him to the place where they heard Jesus was. They take him to a house where they heard Jesus was. Anybody of you know the story? Good. Okay. By the way, it's found in Mark chapter 2. You can write that down. So the story is kind of incredible because they get to this house and they can't get in. They try getting in. They can't get in. So what they do is they go on top of the roof of the house. Now, they build houses a lot different than we have here. Matter of fact, I just had a roofer at my house, and he's going, well, that's a da-da-da pitch, and this one's a this pitch and that pitch. I said, it's a roof. Well, back there, they didn't have roof pitches like that. They're flat. So these four friends can't get in the door with him. They're carrying him on his bed or his mat, and so they decide they're going to get on top of the roof. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, help us. They had to get him up there. That must have been crazy. All right, so they get him on top of there, and they start smashing a hole in the roof. Do you want that happening? So I started thinking, wow, I'm preaching, and things are falling on my hair. Don't mess with the hair, but things are falling from the roof. All right? And Jesus has got to be thinking, what? Or this is what I think Jesus has got to be thinking. What? In the middle of my message, you're interrupting my message. All right. But no, that's not what happens, okay? So Jesus looks up, they're lowering the guy, and it doesn't bother Jesus. He doesn't get distracted. How many of you have seen a car drive by over here and you go, we are so distracted, right? Me too, okay? It doesn't bother him, he doesn't get distracted. Now, here's what's really interesting about the story. What's interesting is what Jesus says to this guy. What Jesus says to this guy. Now, all of us would think the first thing Jesus would do when he saw this guy is, oh my gosh, poof, be healed. For however he does it, okay? We would think he would just do that, right? All right? How many of you believe in miracles? How many of you have seen miracles? How many want to see miracles? Well, you all would have been, Jesus, just do whatever you do and poof, he's going to be healed. Woo, he's going to get up. Okay, but that's not what happens. All right, so now I'm going to read Mark chapter 2. Here we go. And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum after some days, it was rumored about that he was in the house, probably of Peter. So many people gathered together and there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he was discussing the word. Jesus was teaching the word, all right? They came, these are the four friends and the guy on the bed. They came carrying a paralytic to him who had been picked up and has been carried by four men. And when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, the whole bunch filling the room, they dug a hole through the roof above him. And when they had scooped out an opening, they let him down. thickly padded, I hope so, quilt or mat on which the paralyzed man lay. And when Jesus saw their face, their confidence in God through him, he said to this guy, the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven you and put away. That is, the penalty is remitted and the sense of guilt removed, and you are made upright and in right standing with God. Okay. Now, if you read on, Jesus eventually prays for him and gets healed. Okay. But you know what's really interesting is Jesus said something really odd to him. He said four things that were kind of odd considering here's this guy, he's paralyzed, he's on a mat, and Jesus says something, these four things, right? So he says these four things, and we're going to talk about these four things here. Now, before I get into that, I would say all the time, when you read your Bible, there are multiple layers in the story you're reading, not just one thing. And I'll prove it to you. How many have read a scripture like 100 times? 100 times, and one day you read it and you're like, whoa, I didn't see that. Because it's not just one thing when you read your Bible. And as you grow and as you have the Holy Spirit open up, you're like, there's levels in this story. And there's levels in this story, okay? And here's what I believe. Jesus knew there was something in this guy's head that couldn't get him off the bed. Because he said four things to him. I believe Jesus knew there was something in this guy's thinking that couldn't get him off of the bed. Amen. All right? And I'm going to close my eyes. And some of you are stuck in a bed too. Not us, all right? Some of you are stuck in a bed, like the bed of, I'm in this mess up relationship, a bed of, man, my kid is just so messed up and so far. I'm in a bed where, man, our finances have been blown. You are stuck and actually paralyzed, spiritually seeking, just spiritually, not really, but you're stuck and paralyzed in a bed. And we might, I definitely will, have to get some stuff out of our head so we can get out of this place. Otherwise, listen, if you don't get some stuff out of your head, you're going to, you know, what do they say? Go around the block, go around the block, go around the block, go around the block. You're going to stay in the same place. You're going to stay in the same place. So we're going to look at four things Jesus says, because moi doesn't have any problems. Maybe I could help somebody, all of you that know all of this. But how about we get this and we help somebody? Amen. But it does start with us first. Okay. So Jesus knows I'm not going to get this guy out of the bed until I can't just say this. I just can't say, hey, get up, all right? So, and listen, we like to hear, get up, all right? But Jesus knows something about this guy, and maybe he knows something about us, that we might have to change some of our thinking so we can get free and get out of that place. Amen. All right. So I'm going to say, I wrote this. I was like up at 5 and I'm like, this is so good. So I wrote this. I'm going to read it to you. You can write it if you like it. Most people are not in a position to receive God's best in their life. All right. And there are times that something has to be done first to get their thinking straight, to get them out of the condition they're currently in. So we have this guy. He's in a bed. He's paralyzed. Okay? So Jesus says 4 things. If you're taking notes because you're smarter than a 5th grader, write this down. Ready? What's the first thing? Mark chapter 2, we just read. The first thing he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And I have to laugh. I get the guys going, well, I didn't come for that. I came to get healed. Like, why are you saying that? All right? So I believe, now I'm going to stretch you. I believe Jesus was prophetically speaking about what was going to happen after he died and rose again. When Jesus is talking right now, he hadn't died, hadn't gone to hell, hadn't been raised. He's not sitting at the right hand of God. But I believe he was prophetically speaking for the time that we live in, that our sins would be forgiven. All right? But he's chucking this out at this guy because he's stuck in this bed because of his head. All right? So when Jesus died, went to hell, and rose again, his blood was shed. How many of you know that? To forgive our sins. Right there, just close your eyes and go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Amen. Praise God. So I believe Jesus was saying this, and he was going to show us that we can all experience, after Jesus died and rose again, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen. All right. So here we go. So Jesus says to this guy, hey, son, your sins are forgiven. And you want to tick off a bunch of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, man, they are ticked. And they're like, who do you think you are saying your sins are forgiven? Okay. Well, obviously they didn't understand that. And you and I have read our Bible and we're like, duh, Jesus, that's what Jesus did. But they didn't understand that. It just ticks them off. Okay. Now, obviously, us, you and me, having a sin, we just think of all the mess ups and screw ups, and we have a sin conscious, will keep us from walking in all the blessing God has. How many of you know that? Say it's for the other person. I know that about that person. It's not me. But listen, you walk around with your mind just always conscious of every mess up you ever did. It will keep you from walking in the blessings. And I run across people and I'm like, what? So some of you have never heard this and you're probably thinking, well, I've messed up. God, you must be so mad at me. I'm just a big mess. No, no, no. When you understand this, this is what you got to understand. God's saying, I have forgiven all your mess ups. High five the person next to you. Say, oh man, mine are all forgiven. Jeez. All right, I've forgiven them, okay? And if you want to be the greatest person that God wants you to be and walk in, you have to receive that. You have to receive, my sins are forgiven. Now, Pastor D, that is so elementary. But the problem is, I know that. I know the day I got saved, my sins are forgiven. Yeah, but how about you come with this thinking in your brain, oh man, I did this, I did this, I did this, and you kind of have a notebook of, well, I did this wrong. Maybe you don't know that your sins are forgiven, okay? Okay, because God's up in heaven and he's like, hey, I have forgiven all your sins. Your past ones before, your present ones right now, and the ones you're going to do 5 minutes out there in the parking lot. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. All right. The blood of Jesus gave me super status. Hallelujah. My sins are washed away. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is the great Apostle Paul. Jesus has already died. He already went to hell. He's already been resurrected, and he sits at the right hand of God. And this is the Apostle Paul, and this is what he says. And he says this to us's. All right? Ready? In him, we have redemption. Woo! That is our deliverance and salvation through his blood. Whose blood? Jesus' blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sins in accordance to the riches of his grace. Here's my question. Do you think the blood of Jesus is big enough to take care of your past sins? Amen. All right. Amen. But do you think the blood of Jesus is big enough to forgive, but you just can't forgive what I did today? It can't forgive what I said even in the car before I got to church. Man, Jack and I would have war in the church, in the car, coming to church. Then we got smart. That's the devil. Gosh. So we'd pray before we got in the car. All right. Okay, side straw. Okay. The blood of Jesus is big enough to forgive whatever you mess up, whatever you've done. It's big enough to forgive you all your sins. Just say that. It's big enough to forgive all my sins. So we got this guy. He's laying paralyzed on a bed. And Jesus says, son, your sins have been forgiven. Point number one. Point number two, if you're taking notes, ready? The second thing Jesus says to this guy in his super status, you ready? The second thing he says is, the penalty is remitted. The penalty is remitted. If you're an accountant, do you know what that word remitted means? I'm not an accountant, so I'll tell you what it means. You ready? It means canceled out, wiped out, or to release someone from it, okay? So Jesus is talking about you had a penalty for your sins, and he's wiped it out. Amen. Should we all be standing up and shouting, woo, glory to God, he wiped it out. Now, I've told this story before, but after Jack died, I got a phone call from a company that we had a student loan from, and I'm arguing with this guy, and he finally listened. I was like, shut up, Dave, just listen. And because the loan was in Jack's name. So he says, it's wiped out. He's dead. So the loan's wiped out. Wiped out. Canceled. Wiped out. $10,000. Woo-hoo-hoo. Praise the Lord. I don't know which kid that was. I don't know if it was Cassie or Joy or Sherry. I don't know who it was. But anyway. So the penalty, this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, you guy, you have a penalty and you can't pay it. So I'm wiping it out. Canceling it out. Jesus is canceling out. Listen, we sinned. We had a penalty. Have you ever been pulled over by a policeman? Yes, yes, yes. I've been clean 3 years. Woo! I know. And some of us sheer by grace. But before that, I'd be speeding and I would get pulled over and there's a penalty. And they started $100 now, right? There's a penalty. Listen, worse than that, worser. We were sinners and there was a penalty. And Jesus says, I'm wiping it out. Woo! I don't have to. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay. So, I don't know where I am on my notes here. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. So, we got this guy on a bed who's paralyzed, and Jesus says to him, he's got to get something out of his head to get him out of the bed. So, he says, the penalty for your sins has been wiped out. All right. Wiped out. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me, praise God. Now, we all know that the penalty's wiped out before, you know, the day I received Jesus, because I was a crazy sinner, and I know the penalty's wiped out then, right? Y'all know your sins are forgiven after you met Jesus, all right? But how about I mess up? Y'all mess up. How many of you messed up, all right? You okay? Yeah, we still mess up, okay? If not, you're a liar and you just messed up, all right? But the penalty, Jesus is saying the penalty is remitted. Now, that was Jesus. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures in the New Testament, okay? Now, there's one, turn over to Matthew. This is Jesus. Y'all know the story. Jesus is with his disciples. He's going to have this communion dinner with them. Matthew 26, 28. Y'all know this. Just write it down. Matthew 26, 28. All right. Matthew 26, 28. And Jesus says, now we know this. This is our communion scriptures. Ready? This is the blood, which is the new agreement that God makes with his people. Woohoo! Or which confirms, establishes the new covenant of the new covenant. This blood is poured out for many to forgive their sins, for the remission, canceled out, blotted out, wiped out. This is my blood that wipes out your sins. Whew, man, that is so good. All right. Real quiet. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Forever thankful that you died for me and your blood was shed for me and my sins are forgiven and they're canceled out. Thank you. Thank you for this super status I have now. Amen. Okay. Number three, this is one third thing that Jesus says to the guy who's in a paralyzed, who's on a mattress and he can't get up and walk. And he needs to be healed. This is the third thing he says. You ready? The third thing he says is the sense of guilt is removed. Okay? How many of you have ever dealt with guilt? Man, a little slimy thing sneaks up some days. Ooh, just gets you in the gut. All right? And like, I feel so guilty. I messed up. Da-da-da-da-da. I just feel horrible. Okay? That's a shame and guilt is disgusting. Okay, and Jesus says, I have taken that guilt and I've removed it. Okay, now I know that, but some days I don't know that. I know that, and some days some dumb thing I did long, long time ago in a far, far away place just raises up and that guilt, and I go, no, Jesus took my sense of guilt and removed it for me. I say, shut up. I'm not listening to you. You should hear me in the car. I'm just talking to myself, yelling at things, okay? All righty, now. Okay, remember, this is the guy that's laying in bed. And Jesus is saying this to him, and he really just needs to be healed, right? And he says, he looks at him, and he says, your sins are forgiven. The penalty has been canceled out, and your sense of guilt is removed. Woo, okay? Now. Praise God. So I just shared a story. Don't look at your yearbook BC days. I'm packing up my house. I'm going to be moving. And I decided to look at my yearbook. The only good part is I was a lot skinnier. But I was looking at places, like faces that remind me of places and things. And I didn't know Jesus. And this guilt snuck on me. It's like a big stink comes in the room, okay? And you know what? I had to say, wait a minute. Jesus, my Savior, who I received, carried that off of me. Shut up. Close that yearbook and don't look at that thing again, all right? All right, so sometimes you have that thing come on you and that guilt comes on you and you have to say, no, my Jesus took that guilt. And listen, did some dumb, stupid things. You ought to feel guilty. That's what the devil would like to say to you. And I go, no, my Jesus took that and carried it away. Man, and don't you feel lighter? I just like, woo. And then I start thinking about my super status. Okay. So here we have that man lying in the bed, right? He hasn't gotten up yet. Why? Because Jesus is trying to deal with some things in his head so he can get him off of the bed. And maybe you got to look at some things in your life and say, I think I'm paralyzed in all the places that God wants to take me. So maybe it's something in my head. I actually was praying with this girl not too long ago, and she was sharing about some issues in her life, actually her physical body. And I realized she had some things in her head, and I could not get her off the bed. And I said, hey, you need to make an appointment with me. We are going to sit down and talk about this, because she had things in her head. She could not get it. She could not receive what Jesus had done for her. So we're meeting, okay? And I did my best, all right? Okay, so turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, I'm going to read this out of a different translation, the Expanded Bible, because most of you know the King James, but here it goes. Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. So now those who are in Christ Jesus, raise your hand if you're in Christ Jesus, are not judged guilty, condemned, punished for their sins. Woo! Okay, the King James says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, all right? All right? Listen to what Jesus says in John 3:17. I'm just going to tell you. The Son of God, Jesus, didn't come to the world to condemn it. Didn't come to condemn it, all right? So if you're taking notes, condemned, condemnation comes from the devil. Amen. Condemnation comes from the devil. God does not condemn us. God does not condemn us. I don't care how big, bad, and dirty what you did. God does not condemn you. Now, sometimes I'll do things, just sometimes, you know. Sometimes I'll do things, and my heart convicts me. It's a big difference, and I'll tell you in a second. Convicts me, and I'm like, matter of fact, this happened last week. I said something dumb, and right away, I shouldn't have said that. And then I looked at the person who I said it to, and I could tell right away. I didn't take a rocket science. I shouldn't have said what I said, okay? So I had to wait till all these people left, and I grabbed that person because I was convicted that I knew what I said was bad, just stupid, dumb, and all that stuff, all right? But so that's conviction. It's different. But condemnation's from the devil, and you know what it is? It's beating you with judgment. You bam. It's a bam. I don't like to get bammed. And the devil wants to bam you. Holy Spirit comes in. Man, he's just sweet. He's sweet, okay? So condemnation, if you're taking note, means judgment. Judgment. So here's the deal. Jesus freely, willingly died on a cross, went to hell, and was raised from the dead so that you don't have to have judgment in your life. He did it for you. He took the judgment, let's face it, we should have. He took the judgment so we don't have to have the judgment. Okay, no condemnation, all right? Now, I'm going to read this out of Romans 8:1 out of the Amplified, okay? Therefore, there is no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. So, once you accept Jesus into your life, there's no condemnation, no judgment. That means you can take that weight off. Just good. All right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? And we have been released and set free. So Jesus comes to this guy who's laying in bed, can't get out of the bed, and he says, you are released from condemnation. You are released. I took your judgment. Praise God. Okay. Now, if you don't understand, Pastor D, I understood everything you said. No. If you don't understand that, oh, Pastor D, that was so elementary. No. If you don't understand that, you're going to say things like, oh, I'm just not that good. I keep messing up. You know, I actually kind of deserve it. Wrong, bad, no, Jesus took my judgment for my sins, past, present, and future. I don't have to be judged and smacked, okay? Amen. Praise God. Can you just see him taking this heavy backpack off of my back, and he said, I took it and I carried it away for you. And I'm like, thank you. All right. So here's the last one. There's this guy. He's laying on a bed. He's paralyzed. And he really just wants to get out of that bed. And Jesus says to him, what? your sins are forgiven. I forgive your sins. And he says, the penalty has been blotted out, remitted, the penalty for your sins. And then he says, that sense of guilt for being such a turkey has been removed from you, okay? And here's the fourth thing, the last thing Jesus says. Ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. You are upright and in right standing with God. You are upright and right standing with God. Now, that is your super status. It's almost like you got a VIP card. VIP, you are your super status. You are upright and in right standing with God. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in the Old Testament, there wasn't anybody that could say that. In the Old Testament, there wasn't anybody that could say that. The only one that could say that was Jesus. Okay, until Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Praise God. So, we got this guy on a bed. He's paralyzed. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Son, you are upright and in right standing with God." Number one, he called him son. Talks about a relationship, like, wow, okay? So today, you are in right standing with God. Today, God's not mad at you because you super sinned, okay? God's not mad at you. God's removed your sense of guilt. God's taken the penalty and the judgment away from you because of what Jesus did. Today, you have right standing with God. Y'all should stand up and go, "Yes, I have right standing with God." Oh, so good. I have right standing God. Check out this scripture, Romans 3. Just back up a little bit. Romans 3, 21. Okay. Based on all of that, you should not be carrying any junk. So this girl that I was talking to, she had junk in her head and she couldn't get out of the bed. And we shouldn't be carrying junk. But now you know and you can help other people out. Okay. So Romans 3. Check this out. Romans 3. "But now the righteousness of God has been clearly revealed independently and completely apart from the law, though it is actually confirmed by the law and the words and the writings of the prophets." Verse 22. "This righteousness, right standing of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all the Jews, the Gentiles who believe and trust in and acknowledge him as the Son of God." I like that. That's what God did for me. That's what God's done for us, all right? And maybe you're here and this could be your day where you say, "I acknowledge him and Jesus, I need you," right? Okay, jump down to verse 24 because we're kind of short on time. Verse 24. "And being justified, declared free of guilt of sin, made acceptable to God and granted eternal life." Man, that is so good, all right? "As a gift by his precious and undeserved grace, through the redemption and payment for our sins, which is provided in Christ Jesus." Okay, so think about this way. Jesus made a payment. How would you like someone to make a payment and pay off your house? Woohoo! I'll say, "I'll take it." Mine's already paid. Okay, but how would you like someone to make a payment for you? Jesus made a payment for your sins. Jesus made a payment for your sins, okay? Okay, and guess what? You can't make one. You can't make a payment for your sins, all righty? Now, sometimes our thinking is, well, if I just do enough good things, help enough people, stop cussing at the, you know, whatever, okay, then I'll be good enough. And you know what we do? That's like trying to make a payment. And Jesus says, "I made the payment for you." Woo! Okay? There's no payment. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what that payment's called? Grace. Is it Andrew Womack that says it's grace is just too good to be true? Is that where I get that quote? I've heard it before. Grace is just too good to be true. Okay, think about this. In God's eyes, he sees you free from sin, the penalty's paid, no guilt, and he sees you standing like this. Matter of fact, he sees the whole world like that. They just haven't received it. The whole world has had Jesus die for them. They just have to receive it. That's grace. That's crazy grace. That's just grace too good to be true. Amen. It's too be good. Your circuits go off. Wait a minute. I am in the condition I'm in. I'm just a mess up. And you see me. My sins forgiven. The penalty remitted. My sense of guilt gone. And you see me like this, right standing with God. That is just too good to be true. Okay? Too good to be true. All righty. So I'm going to close with one last scripture. But before I give you the scripture, it's over in Hebrews. What does it look like? What do you look like? Or what does it look like when you're no longer carrying a sin conscience and you're thinking? What's that going to look like? What's it going to look like when you no longer have to feel like you have to pay the penalty? You have to pay the penalty. What's it look like when you no longer have a sense of guilt? What's it look like when you have right standing with God? Well, let me tell you. Yes. Hebrews 4. Turn over to Hebrews 4. This is what I believe it looks like. Okay, I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible first. Okay, and then I'll just read it out of the King James. Here we go. This is what I think it looks like. Here we go. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not slip through our fingers. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what is so ready given. Take the mercy and accept the help. Okay. Pastor D, that was so many words. Okay, y'all know this one. You ready? Because it says in the King James, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and help. All right. What's that word boldly? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what boldly means? Some of you are it. Boldly means confidently. Confidently, boldly, confidently. And this one I like, outspokenly. Some of you are so outspoken some days. Not looking at anybody over here. Okay, they're all over there. They're all over here. They're not over there. Okay, so, but, you are so outspoken, but then you just mess up something in your life. You just blow it, and then you're like, oh, you know, Jesus, you probably just want to strike me with lightning. I know you're never going to talk to me again. What happened to come boldly, confidently, outspokenly? Because sometimes we got thinking in our head, and you have to remember, Jesus, he paid and he took care of all of our sins, the penalty, the sense of guilt, and gave you right standing so that you can come boldly into his throne. Just hang out with him. Sometimes I'm not going, gimme, 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 gimme to God. Sometimes I come boldly into the throne. And I just go, Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I just have a good old time. Instead of, oh, you know, did you see what I did? I really did. No, I come boldly into the throne. Praise the Lord. I come boldly into the throne. Okay. Now, what throne do you go into? The throne of judgment? No, the throne room of grace. I like grace. Judgment, that's that bam, bam. You are so stupid, you sinned again. I can't believe you did it 3 times in a row. You didn't even make it through the day. Okay, that's, I know what you did. Bam, bam, bam. No, he says, come in boldly into the throne room of grace. Praise the Lord. Okay, what do you get in the throne room of grace? Grace. The rest of the scripture says mercy and help in time of need. Then I go, I need help, I need help. But sometimes I just come in and go, God, I'm coming boldly in. I'm going to sit right down and just love you. All right, now, what happens when your day stinks? Your week stinks. Your boss stinks. I just can't stand my day. I need some help. Yeah, you can't go to anybody. Mama can't help me. Grammy can't help me. The bank can't help me. My pills can't help me. What are you supposed to do? Go boldly into the throne of grace. And sometimes I make my own messes, but I come boldly into the throne room of grace and say, God, I've totally messed up, but I thank you for your grace. I need help. Amen. 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 Throne room of grace, throne room of grace. So, and you know what God says to you when you get in there? He doesn't do that. He says, I love you. I love you. You're my kid. How many of you have kids? Amen. Grandkids. How many of them were stinkers? Amen. Let's put in mice, right? Just stinkers. But you love them. God is love, and he loves you even if you're a stinker. Okay, that's being funny about something really incredible, is he loves you, okay? And you know what he does? Okay, so I was a stinker. I go into the throne room of grace, and he just lifts me up. And he says, you're my daughter. You have right standing. Stand up here. Let me give you a hug. All right, isn't that what we do with our kids? Okay. You know, I was thinking about how much God loves us, and I was thinking about a story. I was the oldest of six, and one summer my mom went away. My mom was originally from California. She packed up the three younger kids and drove to California. And she left me with my dad, and we weren't on the greatest relationship. He was just, I was dumb, okay? I wasn't born again. He was dumb. He wasn't born again. So it wasn't really sweet. Really, I found out later, it's probably more me. But anyway, moving on to my story. So my parents left me, and I had a job, and they left me with a stick shift Volkswagen Beetle. Well, that's lovely. I've never driven stick shift in my life. Uh-huh. And my dad just encouraged. I don't think he knew how to drive a stick shift. No, he probably did because he was older. That's how they start. So that's one story. So my dad just was so encouraging, so much love. And then he told me, he says, this is the love of a father. Y'all entitled to one dink on the car. It's okay. Dink. Fender bender. Talk about. I didn't get it for 10 years till I became a parent. How much love. Unconditional love my dad had. I was finally got smart, they say. And you know what? I dinked it. Every one of us dinked it. And my last sister, Liz, who's 10 years younger, totaled it. And he never got mad. He said, that's okay, you all right? Now, I will say the rest of the story because we're telling stories. But eventually, he got a brand new car because Lizzie totaled it. And he said, no one's allowed to drive my car. And I remembered that. Praise the Lord. All right. Shoo. So, whatever you got going on in your life, you have been made right. You have a super status with God. You need to just come boldly in there. And you can tell him your mess up, and he's like, that's all right. You got a dink. Doesn't matter. He's going to love you and help you. So, here's my question. What is the Holy Spirit saying? That you have something in your head that's kept you paralyzed to receiving maybe the blessings or just freedom in an area. I don't know what it is, but you just get quiet. And if not right now, write that down. What do I have in my head that's keeping me in the bed, okay? Maybe yours is guilt, okay, whatever it is. But just get quiet. Matter of fact, close your eyes. Don't go to sleep. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I believe you're here. I believe I know you're here. I believe you've been speaking to hearts. I thank you for speaking to hearts. And I thank you, you do what only you can do. You do something on the inside. You bring light. You open our ears. You bring revelation to the things that have held us, kept us paralyzed today. So I thank you. You just continue to show us our freedom, our status. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are incredible, and me and you makes it incredible. And without you, Lord Jesus, we would not be incredible. So we just want to give you thanks. Thank you for being an incredible Savior. Thank you that your blood has washed our sins away. Thank you that you've paid and remitted our penalty. Whoo! Thank you, you've taken all guilt. And you've given us right standing. You call us sons and daughters. Just thank you for that. Thank you. Praise God. And maybe you're here today and you've never received, acknowledged, accepted Jesus. Well, can I tell you, today's the day. Today's the day. And Jesus said, if you call on me, you call on my name, I would save you. I'd make you. I'd give you this position. But it's a matter of receiving. And it's really simple. Now, Jesus wasn't messing around. He says there's a real hell and there's a real heaven. And eternity goes both directions. But he said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. And you're forever mine. Forever, forever, I'll not abandon you. So if you're here and you've never accepted or received Jesus, just raise your hand and we'll all pray for you. Okay, just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I have not, but I acknowledge you now. I need you in my life. I need that relationship. It has been so heavy and weighted in my life. It's been hard by myself. And I acknowledge you today. If there's anybody here, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Today is your day. Anybody? All right. Praise God. Anybody? Praise the Lord. I will say this, though. So nobody raised your hand, but look at me for a second, okay? I don't want you falling asleep before the coffee's on here. No, seriously. There are times, I mean, I'm a believer. I've been a believer for 40 years. How'd that happen? Okay, but there are times I'm not so incredible. But it doesn't change how much God loves me and the plans and purposes he has for my life. And maybe you've just felt so much guilt and shame and the weight of what you've done or what's, that you've drifted away. And I tell you, it's real simple. Come boldly into the throne room of grace. God, I've messed up, like he didn't know. God, I've messed up, and I come back to you. And this is Big Daddy God. He just grabs you, hugs you, swings you around, gives you kiss, 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 kiss. Okay, all right? And he'll help you. But it takes you, again, acknowledging, I need your help. I remember one time saying to my son, I said, honey, I think you're wearing out this prayer, help. But keep going. Just keep asking for help, all right? Because that's your daddy God. He loves to do that. So if you've drifted, and I've seen this happen so many times. People that have just blown it. Sometimes what you think is a little thing, in their head it's a big thing. Sometimes what you think it really is a big thing. They've really blown it, messed up, okay? You're like, whoa! And I'm not allowed to do that when I'm, that's okay. But inside I'm going, whoa! Okay, but you know what happens? That guilt, I've seen this so many times. They pull away from God. Stop reading the Bible. Stop praying. And then they stop coming. So, if you know somebody, because they're not here, right? If you know somebody that's just pulled away, it might be they have not heard those four things that Jesus said to that man. And now you're a carrier to set them free. So I challenge you. So just pray for someone that you know that might have drifted. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their return, okay? Amen? Good. Stand up. You guys are sweet. Love you. Sweet, 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 sweet. Kiss, 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 kiss. No, Pastor D, you're such a girl. I know. Been that way for 65 years. So let's all say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I have a super status. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer, we've got some elders that'll be up here, grow group leaders. We'll pray with you. We will come alongside with you. Otherwise, have a wonderful day. Hope to see you tomorrow night at Praise Community Center for prayer, the prayer for York at 7. Praise God. Tomorrow is Monday. Yay. So if you'd like prayer, please come up.